Welcome to The Clean Slate with your hosts, Daniel Garza and Carson Phillips, providing you with movie news, reviews, and more. Sit back, relax, and don't forget to go to the concessions to get your popcorn and drinks. For your entertainment, this is The Clean Slate Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is the Clean Slate Podcast. It's my birthday month, so I'm picking the movies all month. You know you're here for it. You're here for me. And I'm Carson. That's Daniel.
What up?
What's up? How's it going?
Okay. That was so anticlimactic. All right, everybody. So we got a couple of great movies for you today. Welcome back if you are back. And guys, thanks for supporting. We've been seeing a lot of people wearing our merch lately, yeah. And it's been a lot of fun seeing that around.
I like our merch. I think it's nice.
Yeah, we're going to put a pause on merch, right, until it's, like, heavily requested or we have, like, another brilliant idea.
Yeah, we're going to maybe wait until Halloween for more merch, but if you guys really, really want it, let us know, and we'll try to make some work something out. But we need a few of you to make it worth it for us to order, so.
Yeah, exactly. This time we took a hit, but it's all good. So let's get jumping right into this week's movies. And we're going to start off with my favorite director, David Lynch.
Shut up, dude. I hate you. He's my favorite director.
I just wanted to take...
I shouldn't even let you watch his movies.
I know, right? I was just trying to be like you.
I'm going to fight you.
Okay, so this first movie that we're going to talk about is Blue Velvet. Is that one good? Because I think we'll need a little bit more time on Mulholland.
Let's do Blue Velvet first. I think we'll go in chronological order of release.
There you go. Okay, so here is the logline for Blue Velvet. The discovery of a severed human ear found in a field leads a young man on an investigation related to a beautiful, mysterious nightclub singer and a group of psychopathic criminals who have kidnapped her child.
Ooh.
That's pretty good.
I think explains it.
Yeah, so before, you know, we jump too far ahead with likes and dislikes, pretty stacked cast here. Isabella Rossellini, Kyle MacLachlan, Dennis Hopper, and Laura Dern as the main cast. And
great cast.
They killed it. I don't know if I'm a huge Laura Dern fan, but
I love her.
I don't know. I just can't. I'm not on board with her face. Her face is always so, like, annoyed, it looks like, or worried.
She probably is annoyed, or maybe it's like she's worried. She's like, is this exact movie same financially face viable for me?
In Jurassic Park as it is in Blue Velvet.
Or Marriage Story when she's like that evil lawyer.
Ooh, yeah. Anyway, okay, anyways. Cool. So this movie, guys, is pretty much really, I mean, the log line is what it is, like the movie.
It's weird, but it's not as weird as other Lynch films.
Why don't you go into a description then, I guess, since we are kind of focused on David Lynch today, of what both of these movies kind of have in common in terms of how David Lynch expresses in his writing.
Yeah. So something about Lynch is he's real into transcendental meditation. I read his books. I know like kind of an inside scoop, but I don't know if any of it's even true because he's known for lying. but essentially he kind of works with what we would call like dream logic. So there's like dream sequences in all of his films, and it's kind of hard. You have to kind of detangle what is symbolic and what's literally happening, or is it all literally happening? Is it all symbolic? So there's a little bit of a puzzle nature to his films. They're a little bit enigmatic, as you would say. And if you've seen like Twin Peaks, you kind of know that, but like it's basically forcing all that into like a pretty short runtime overall. So there is like a main through line of plot in all of these, but there is these weird moments that are almost like vignettes of, I don't know how to explain it, like strangeness. And then it does mean something overall, but he won't explain the meaning of any of his films. It's kind of up to the viewer. He thinks once a movie's out there, it's no longer the creator's project, which is true. I agree with that. So it becomes something else to each person that watches it. So that might sound pretentious to a lot of you. But
no, I think, yeah, but that's a really that's good way operates. Of putting it, because like that's just in terms of creativity, right? Like in regards to paintings, it's worth what someone will pay for it and what it means to that person, like, right, how they envision it. even if it's completely separate. I mean, sure, granted, like, we don't want to completely overturn the initial, I guess, the initial inspiration on it. But yeah, with especially with David Lynch and kind of these being my first deep dives into his movies, that's like really well said. And I think, you know, it makes to each sense his own. To you. Yeah, no, sense. For sure.
Okay. Yeah, I was a little worried because these are like, I've seen these movies before and I've seen almost his entire filmography. I think I'm missing like maybe one or two of his films.
Yeah.
But like, if you're not used to it, it can be a bit jarring. And it's not a crowd pleaser. I think Blue Velvet might be, actually. But
yeah,
Mulholland Drive is not a crowd pleaser. Eraserhead wouldn't be. So there's like, kind of be selective of where you start with Lynch, I think.
Sure. Okay. So I'm going to just go first, just because this is my first watch. And yeah, I, you know, and then you can give me some explanation later, because, you know, you're a fanboy of David Lynch. And I mean, to be fair, I loved both of these movies that we're talking about today. Like,
I was surprised
really cool.
when you called me and said, you
yeah, I don't know what it was. It was just like, it was really, I'm typically, I hate 80s and I hate things that like,
are too weird or weird for
yeah, a reason. Yeah, almost. So, but, you know, the more I dug into it, the more I started appreciating David Lynch and his mind and kind of what you explained. So I think there's a lot of room for interpretation and for us as viewers and creators at the same time to kind of pick apart and put our own little sense in it. So anyway, so likes and dislikes. I'm going to go first with likes, just the bare minimum. Cinematography was insane on it. Like, the way that they used the colors, the blues, all that type of stuff was so good. Even the noir type vibes with shadows and all that type of thing, like, it was really well done. And I still think a lot of the themes that he used in regards to cinematography was like spot on. Loved it. Secondly, besides the Blue Velvet song, the score was insane. Like, oh my gosh.
He uses the same, I can't remember his name. It sounds very Italian. Something Giamatti or something like that. Something along those lines. But he does all of Lynch's scoring for the most part. So he did like the Twin Peaks soundtrack. I think he did Mulholland Drive as well. But he's like a frequent collaborator. And Lynch also makes music. So they've worked together on just music projects. Like, they have albums together. It's really cool.
So, ultimately, though, this movie is technically a flop. It was very interesting because I was looking into this movie and I was like, this is so crazy. I wanted to know some backstory on it. And so, apparently, David Lynch, like, right, he just came off of Dune. It was, like, horribly received. And David Lynch actually struck a deal with one company when he wrote this script. And he only was going to make it for $6 million. And was, you know, a 2-hour, I think, deliverable. And with that being said, like, he cut a huge, like, into his chunk. But the one thing that he requested was that he would have complete control over creative.
Yeah.
And
complete creative control. That's why Dune, if you read his book, he talks about how it felt like he sold out during that time period because he didn't have complete creative control.
Exactly. So, ultimately, gross worldwide, this movie has only done $8 million, which is kind of sad because opening weekend was less than a million. I just said $6
million. $6
million? Yeah.
Well, it made its money back at least.
Sure, but it's still a flop considered. Yeah. It's not three times what they put into it. So, but all that being said, I think all the themes, the symbolisms, kind of my favorite part is with Kyle MacLachlan's character, that he, first of all, he kind of reminds me of Matthew Perry a little bit. It was kind of weird to say, but that's got Matthew Perry vibes from him.
Kyle MacLachlan vibes?
No.
He's in Fallout too, for those of you who are Kyle fans.
Oh, nice.
A reoccurring role there.
So my main thing that I loved, and not the main theme of this movie, but it's kind of the battle in Kyle MacLachlan of wanting to do bad. Wanting to do good, but having the like temptation of, see where this. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, this girl who, I mean, this trigger warnings, this movie has a lot of SA scenes.
Intense
it's like very intense sexual content. Yeah. And then Just outright, like, insanity. I mean, the logline has it right where it says psychopathic.
Like, yeah, no, it's unhinged.
These guys are insane. And so I think you consistently, and it's not very obvious either with Kyle MacLachlan's character, Jeffrey. It's, I mean, yeah, it is obvious, but you can tell, like, after you've watched it, you can kind of see that he was battling the entire time of wanting to take care of this girl, wanting to, you know, be sexual with her, but also at the same time really being in love with Laura Dern's character.
Yeah. And yeah, then it's also between, wanting, like, love and obsession all intermingled. Yeah,
exactly. So that's kind of the main thing I picked out of it that I really liked. Okay. In that inner battle. And I know that there's so much more that goes into this movie, but those were my main likes for this movie.
I agree. Those are solid. Again, yeah, like what you were saying, the score, it's kind of like jazzy in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unlike any scores that we get nowadays. So I do kind of miss these kind of soundtracks. Also, kind of going off of what you were saying about, like, the themes and, like, enjoying those themes is, like, and Lynch does this in some of his other works where you get, like, a small town that seems very idyllic.
Yeah.
And then there's this dark underbelly. Like, Mulholland Drive does the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it's like, oh, look how great this place is. And then but underneath, deep down, it's like,
yeah,
there's some grimy, evil stuff going on. Like, deeply disturbing stuff.
I did catch on to that.
Yeah. And it even feels, like, weirdly, like, spiritual in some sense. Like, when they're doing, like, the weird singing on the car and stuff, that feels supernatural. But it's not, or is it? I mean, that's up to you to decide, I guess.
Right.
But for me, I kind of cling to those kind of stories where it's like, this feels supernatural. It's not. What's the feeling telling me? Because I think it's movies you kind of have to watch, like, based off of your emotions more than logic. If you try to think logically, it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, so those are really great. And it's such a simple film, too. Like, there's no crazy turn. What? Oh. There's no what was I saying? It's a very simple film. Like, it's not super complicated. There's no, like, I mean, I guess there is a big bad guy, but not in the way you think. So it's like, it's crazy because coming off of Dune, which is this crazy movie that had, like, celebrity cameos from freaking, like, Sting,
so, yeah, everywhere,
to this is really, really cool because it's back to his roots as a director. And yeah, I think it's worth watching. If you guys haven't seen it, you should watch it. I think this is a good entry point, like, from his career and, like, story-wise. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of his more pure forms of what he's known for.
Yeah. Okay, so for dislikes for me, I'm going to just go into that. One, well, you kind of mentioned it, though, was when, like, you know, Jeffrey, Kyle MacLachlan, is, like, getting beat up in that middle of the area, and the girl just gets out and starts dancing.
No,
like,
I love
really
that.
Really weird. I was like, what the heck?
It's supposed to, does it make you feel uneasy?
Yeah, a little bit, because it's just, like, turning the blind eye to, like, the evil within it. It's almost kind of like a commentary to what you were just saying of, like, right, like, on the surface is, like, a small town that just likes to dance and party, but literally right below it is someone getting beaten. So it's like,
dude, it's like Lodi.
No, literally. And then secondly, I'm going to just say the only other dislike that I had was just kind of the uneasiness or the kind of grotesqueness of the intense sexual scenes in it. I was just not about it.
Yeah, it's a little much. Like, I agree with that. Like,
it was, like, just tough to watch. I was like,
that's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So just be if you're watching this, be prepared to feel icky. I mean, it might be necessary in some ways for the plot, but it's just the intensity is there. Four and
any
a half
dislikes
out of
on
five
your
for
end?
Me. No, I agree with, like, the sexual content is intense. Like, this is an intense watch. And seeing it, I've seen it maybe 3 times now.
Yeah.
And it's not, it doesn't get, you should take big gaps if you're going to rewatch it, is what I would say. Because if you watch this too much, you know, your brain's going to be fried. And,
just a little bit too much.
Yeah, there's a little bit of, and I don't know, maybe it's just Lynch's style. I would say there's a little bit of awkwardness in, like, the reunion of Kyle MacLachlan and Laura Dern at the end. Where I'm like, kind of wish there would have been a little bit more work there, but very small critique on my part there.
Cool. All right, well, let's keep this going. Let's move on to Mulholland Drive, our second movie of this episode.
Deeply strange.
deeply strange, but Naomi Watts does such a stellar job in this movie, and yeah, we got a lot to talk about in this one. And this
crazy
actually won
cast
an Oscar
again,
or nominated for an Oscar.
I think it might be Lynch's only. Well, actually, I don't know. I'm not for sure. I think he has a couple other nominations, but
okay. Yeah. After a car wreck on Mulholland Drive renders a woman amnesiac, she and a Hollywood hopeful search for clues and answers across Los Angeles in a twisting venture beyond dreams and reality. Whoa.
Whoa, that's true.
That's interesting. That's kind of like the it's a spoiler.
Yeah, that just tells you everything.
Yeah, okay.
Guys, if you're going to watch this movie, go in blind is what I would say.
Yeah, but if you're going to do that, stop listening now because there's going to be heavy spoilers.
Yeah, we're going to spoil it. Yeah, there's no way to not spoil it.
But then come back.
Yeah. Yeah, please come back.
Okay, so as best as possible, try to give him a little rundown.
Yo, this is dirty. Okay.
This is your favorite director.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, it's on my top four for Letterboxd. Okay. So, girl shows up to Hollywood, you know, Tinseltown. She's ready to get her foot in the door. She meets this other woman, I would say, who doesn't remember her name or anything. She's just
in a car accident.
Yeah, she was in a car accident. That's the first thing you see is the car accident. So these two come together. They start, you know, like it says, heading out all across town, trying to figure out who she is. So they're following all these different leads, and there might be a bit of romance between the two. And some vague stalkers following them. There's some kind of like, I guess we're going to spoil stuff anyways, but there's basically this organization that's kind of running Hollywood that we kind of see glimpses of, and that's starting to affect Naomi Watts' character while she's trying to help her friend out who doesn't know who she even is. And yeah, that's kind of the gist of it. There's also like a lot of side stories. We have this director who is upset because they want him to cast a different person as his lead actress. But he has no choice. Like, he's kind of being forced into this. There's also a assassin or hitman, I guess you would call him, which has one of the funniest scenes in this movie, where he goes through and starts shooting those people. Isn't that the funniest scene?
Yeah.
It's so fun. I don't know if it's supposed to be funny, but I think it's hilarious. So there's like, there's multiple layers, these side plots, and it all does connect together, sort of. I don't want to jump to like the second half of the movie yet.
Okay. So our
likes and dislikes, we can talk about that, I think.
Sure. Okay, so I'm gonna just go in and say that I had zero clue what this movie was by the end of it. I was like the only part, I mean, I'll spoil it, but like, or it will be spoiled, but like the only part that like made sense was by the end of it, you could tell that Naomi Watts becomes a jealous actress because she's not receiving the roles that she wants. She's kind of being a little bit like disregarded and undervalued as a new actress, which, I mean, that's going to happen because in Hollywood you're so easily replaced and
You don't matter. You're
not at all.
Cog in the machine.
Unless you're like an A-list actor, you are fighting tooth and nail to get to where you want to be, and you often don't make it. So just starts crying.
Like me. I'm Naomi Watts. It's me and you.
Anyway, right. That's why we started our own. Oh my gosh. Yeah, so ultimately what I can talk about in terms of this, because I had to look it up. I was like, I do not understand it. What are people saying about this movie? I could kind of get a glimpse, but I just had zero idea if I was right or not. I will say ultimately the whole craziness of it is that there is a dark side to Hollywood, and it's kind of interesting that we have people will be like, oh, conspiracy theories or whatever, but like some of this is kind of true in Hollywood, 100%. That it is like run by certain people, all this type of thing, and this is
a different agenda, recasting someone could very well have a different agenda than just talent. There could be something else going on.
Exactly.
We've talked about industry plants on the podcast before. I'm not gonna say any names, but there's a certain actress who's not a great actress, And yep. she's for sure being pushed because, you know, people have their money up in these people and names and whatnot. Yep. So there's a lot that goes on.
So anyway, I'm going to say, though, the first connection that I made was on, what was I talking about? Beverly, what was the movie called?
Sunset Boulevard.
Sunset Boulevard, yes. Okay.
Classic noir film. I think it's the first film with narration, like noir narration.
One of my favorite movies is Sunset Boulevard. Like, I just think it's so weird and edgy and kind of different. I mean, I hate the girl, the main parts where she's just like, she's like, Mr. DeVille. You know, that's just weird
it's
to me.
It's old. It's an old
movie. Yeah, I know. But all that to say, dude, just the way that this was like pieced together, and once I started kind of, you know, turning the wheels in my head and being like, whoa, okay, it's just almost a flawless movie in that regard, being like...
The reveal when Naomi Watts, like, she goes from, like, looking for her friend in the house, and then you could see, like, this isn't the same house anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, she's imagining hooking up with this lady. Like, this lady's not even in that room.
Exactly.
And, like, there's all this, like, weirdness around that, and you're like, what did I just watch for the last 40
minutes? Yeah, because at the end of the day, you're pretty much like, oh, this is a psychopath, or this is someone who has been driven...
A psycho, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and depending on how you
and so once you put it in that mindset, you're like, oh gosh, this movie is like a way deeper like inner monologue of what's going on in Naomi Watts' head, and it's just so creepy and unsettling. The trailer keeps playing on my screen right now, and it just keeps showing the creepy tramp or whatever.
The what? Oh, the person that's the homeless person that's behind the restaurant?
Yeah, yeah.
I ate at that restaurant called the first time I came to Hollywood.
Bum. That's her name is Bum.
She has a name? You learn something new every day.
So anyway, yeah, it's just a weird movie, but like I think it's one of those movies where you kind of need to like dive in a little bit deeper than just your eyes. But like it was just so crazy once you start putting all the pieces together. And then the same thing with like classic David Lynch. The score is amazing in this. Like I enjoyed both of these last movie scores than a lot of typical movies that I like am in. So like sure, movies like Dune or, you know, The Dark Knight, all those types of movies, they have such good scores. But then even back then, you're like, whoa, this is like really making me like my palms sweaty, like, you know, all those different feelings. Do we want to kind of like
we kind of already did. I kind of did.
Okay, so the whole thing's a dream.
Yeah, well, essentially, but it's better. I know that's like a cop out for most movies. This movie is not a cop out because the real stuff feels like a dream still. Because it's Lynch. Everything's dream. Everything's supernatural, but also not supernatural. Like even like the Club Silencio stuff. Like,
yeah, that was weird.
And it's literally telling you the plot of the movie, kind of like everything's an illusion. Exactly. It's also kind of like a wink, wink at people that like movies because we know it's tricking us. We know it's not real.
Yeah.
So you can think of it that way. There's a lot of different ways you could take this movie. The human brain loves to fill in gaps in information.
Exactly.
And this movie is a good example of that. That scene
was the first time I was like, what is going on? Something weird's going on. I was like, dude, this is... Yeah, dude. I was just like, I don't understand what is happening anymore. And that's like that's the point where I got lost. I was like, I don't get it. I don't know what's happening.
The cowboy? You didn't get lost at the cowboy?
No, the cowboy, I mean, that seemed, I mean, even though, like, once I started hearing a lot of different takes on, like, what that all meant, I was like, I could buy into this. Dude, I was like, I watched this movie, I don't know, probably about, like, 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and I was, like, freaked out. Dude, I was like, oh my gosh. And because, especially with the old bum at the end, I was, it's like, horrifying. So scared. Yeah, I had to, like, go to sleep watching.
Which, the way they introduced that character is really unique, too.
Yeah,
this guy's like, I've had this dream, and you're there, and we're both terrified, and you're like, what? Mm-hmm. And that's how you know this movie is gonna get weird, at some point.
And so what I heard was that is that character, the bum, is death looming, and so when it scares the crap out of that one guy, and he falls over, it's like pretty much almost. Like, yeah, is like or that like thing is like chasing Naomi Watts exactly into you know.
And that's the thing that's like coming after all of us. Like we might be pursuing like these grandiose like careers, like being an actress or a famous director or whatever, but then there's also this something looming behind you around every corner. And something that's kind of interesting is Naomi Watts was saying before she got this role, she was living in LA and she was driving, she would drive Mulholland Drive and think about like just jerking the steering wheel and killing herself. And like some of the other people on the set have all had this same kind of mystical kind of experience while driving Mulholland Drive. And I don't know if that's it's all made up, but it is a very unique drive. So if you're in LA, you should do it. But you could see some of the biggest, like fanciest mansions too. So if you want to do that, but so there's like kind of this weird like aura around this movie. And obviously I don't buy into that too much, but it is something fun to think about when you're watching it.
Yeah. It's almost like lore that comes with the movie.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing too, that is really interesting too, is this was supposed to be Lynch's follow up to the Twin Peaks show. It was kind of, I don't know if it's supposed to be a spinoff or not. I know there was talks about that, but it clearly isn't. But there's all this, like they were filming a TV pilot. So a lot of this has like side plots that were supposed to be part of a TV show. They didn't want the show anymore. So eventually he did, like a couple years later, he turns it into a movie.
Yeah.
They add new scenes, but it all works together. Cause that's when you get that flip of reality. I think that's all the new stuff that was shot from what I understand.
Got it.
It just magically comes together as like this really special film.
Yeah, I think my favorite part of this movie is the fact that, like, again, there are some pretty aggressive sexual scenes in this movie. So, like, be warned.
As aggressive as...
not as aggressive. Probably. Not as aggressive, but they're pretty,
more consensual.
Like... yeah, sure. But they're pretty, like...
sort of, actually.
Yeah, I don't know. They might be on the same par, but maybe not. They might, just,
yeah.
just so prepared. We're safe. Yeah, they're on the same par. But my main thing that I loved about this is it kind of had this weird dialogue of like how far you will go to reach your dreams, and even if it's to your own demise. And like, obviously I pray that nobody ever gets to a point like this to where they've like lost themselves in such a dream that they want. But I think that's what's so interesting about the movie. It's like literally a deep dive
like
into
Inception a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say that, but I didn't know if I wanted to, come off like make it too Christopher Nolan, but it have like
he
Nolan
watched
vibes.
This movie. Nolan watched this. He knows.
Yeah. So, anyway, I just really, I really like deep dives like this in terms of characters. I'm really happy that you picked these movies because they're not like boring, you know, like should I love her or should I pursue my career? It's like, what will I do at all costs to, get what I want. And it's just so creepy, it's so weird and edgy, but I really enjoyed this movie.
Also, I mean, I guess we kind of just went over our likes essentially.
Yeah.
But I gotta shout out the set design on this. It's so freaking sick. Like Lynch loves drapes. There's a ton of drapes in Blue Velvet. This has a bunch of drapes,
pipe and drape.
Really? Wow.
That's a thing, Carson. Pipe and drape. Okay.
But he puts up all these like crazy curtains throughout the whole movie. Yeah. And literally, if you watch the behind the scenes, he's like, "Dish needs a curtain in the corner." It's kind of how he talks.
Yeah.
If you guys want us to, I'd love to watch more Lynch for the podcast at some point. Maybe for Halloween, we could throw in Eraserhead, perhaps. It's very short, too.
Yeah. That would be nice.
Yeah,
cool.
Something a little easy. Not really.
Anyway, all right, guys. Well, that is going to do it for these episodes of Carson's Birthday Bash. Yeah, if you have made it this far between these deep David Lynch movies, I mean, not deep, but like...
yeah, you deep, know me better.
Then you will have known Carson really well, and... Thank you for sticking around because
thank you guys.
This was a pretentious nerd out for both of us.
Shrek 2 to this.
Exactly. We're diving, like I said, we're diving into the deepest parts of Carson's brain, and it is scary. So, but other than that, guys, thank you for stopping by. Thank you for listening to our podcast. We really do appreciate the support. Even though we're small, hey, we like doing this. It's fun for us, and we hope it's fun for
growers.
You guys.
We're growing as a podcast.
So leave us a comment and a like and tell us what you would like to hear next. So we will talk to you guys later.
That's a clean slate.